goes beyond all of our flaws. The scripture said God sees our needs. Amen. We just have so much to be prayerful about tonight. Amen. I don't know if we mentioned it, but the guy, Stephen Cipriano, was killed in the head-on car accident on I-88. And that family, as well as the other family that was also killed.
Amen.
We just heard the prayer request for the two-year-old girl that has, two-year-old girl that has leukemia. Amen. So we have a lot to pray about. And if we would step out of self and see the needs of others, amen, we would stop and count our blessings and name them one by one. How many know that God is still blessing us in spite of all that's taking place? Amen. We might have ailments, we might have challenges, but God is still good. Let us stand for our scripture reading. We thank God for the white man here tonight and pressing our way. We thank God for all of you. We thank God for seeing some of our new converts here tonight. Amen. Hallelujah. On Wednesday night, coming to hear a word from the Lord. Amen. And the Bible said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by what? Every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. We just want to be so mindful that we hide God's word in our hearts. So we're going to turn to Matthew, the 23rd chapter. And we're going to read verses, I'm going to read verse 5, and then verses 23 through 28 of Matthew, the 23rd chapter. And verse 5, and then we're going to go down to verses 23 through 28 of this chapter of Matthew. And do we all have it? For those who do not have this on the screen. Verse 5 reads, but all of their works they do for to be seen of men. They make broad their phylacteries and enlarge the borders of their garments. They won't listen to me, 6-2. And love the uppermost rooms at feasts and the chief seats in the synagogue. Now let's go to verse 23. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you pay tithe of mint and anise and cumin, and have omitted the weightier matters of the law, judgment, mercy, and faith. These ought you to have done, and not to leave the others undone. Ye blind guides, which strain at the net and swallow a camel. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you may clean the outside of the cup and of the platter, but within they are full of extortions and excess. Thou blind Pharisee, cleanse first that which is within the cup and platter, that the outside of them may be clean also. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye are like unto whited sepulchres, which indeed appear beautiful outwardly, but are within full of dead men's bones and all uncleanness. Even so ye also outwardly appear righteous unto men, but within ye are full of hypocrisy. May the Lord have blessed you to read those words in the church said, the word of the Lord is blessed already. May be seated. Amen. So tonight, our subject is actually going to come out of this 23rd verse, which we want to read again. It says, woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye pay tithe of mint and anise and cumin, and have omitted the weightier matters of the law, judgment, mercy, and faith. These ought ye to have done, and not to leave the others undone. So tonight we want to deal with, to prioritize doesn't mean to be neglectful. To prioritize doesn't mean to be neglectful. Amen. Jesus is dealing with the scribes and the Pharisees. And the main thing that he's concerned with is what they want. They do everything is outwardly to be what? Seen. The fifth verse says, for all their works they do to be what? Seen of men. But then he says here in his 23rd verse, paying tithes of Cumin, mint, and aloes, that should be what? Seen. But God said, I'm not interested in what's on the outside, even though you're prioritizing. He said, I'm concerned about the weightier matters. The weightier matters is what nobody can see but God. He said, you've omitted judgment, you've omitted mercy, and you've omitted faith. Amen. So to prioritize, what does it mean to prioritize? To prioritize means to make a concrete decision to put things in order, to do what is the most important first. Prioritize. You do the most important thing first. Now, it didn't say you do the most important thing only, but do it how? First. Well, what the Pharisees and those, the hypocrites were doing, was they were doing everything to be seen, and they were stopping there. God said, no, even though you prioritize, and he said that you ought to have paid your tithes, right? He said, but you should not have omitted the weightier matters. So he said, even though you're prioritizing, you are being neglectful. You're leaving out something that you should have done. And then if we could go to Proverbs, the 21st chapter, the 3rd verse. Now, once again, prioritizing is important. We do what's important. Jesus gave us the greatest command of all in Matthew, the 6th chapter, in the 33rd verse. Pull it up first before we go to Proverbs. Pull that up so we can see that. We all know it, but we just look at it. Amen? He gave us the greatest command. If we want to prioritize, this is the greatest priority in our lives. Amen? We might get caught up in secondary issues. But he said, but seek ye first. This is the number one priority. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and what is pleasing in it. Righteousness means what's pleasing in his eyes. That's what you have to do first. Right. That's the number one thing. Jesus says, seek ye first the kingdom of God. And seeking the kingdom of God, there's a misconception that it's all about preaching, teaching, and just doing spiritual. No. There's more to that. Amen. And we'll get into that a little later. Amen. So, verse 3 of Proverbs 21 says this. Now we're concerned about doing what's right in the eyes of who? God. Seeking the what? Kingdom of God and his righteousness. Amen. There was a time, especially in the early church, when pleasing God and avoiding sin was everyone's main concern. And then everything else was second, success, or whatever else they could accomplish was second. Their number one priority was pleasing God and avoiding sin. But some kind of way these days, the trend has changed. Pleasing self has become number one, and pleasing God is later. Did not Paul write to Timothy, he said, in the last days, men shall be lovers of themselves, what? More than lovers of God. These are the last days. So when he says these are the last days, what's characteristic of the last day is the spirit. It's the spirit of the last age. The spirit of the last age is all about me. Pleasing me. Well, we're supposed to please who first? So if we're not careful, the spirit that's prevalent in these last days will influence us. And we'd be more concerned about ourselves than God. The Bible said another indication of these last days and those that are claiming to have a priority to seek God is that they will have a form of, they look like the real thing, but in essence they're denying the power thereof. That is being a priority, but it's being neglectful. Amen. It's more to being in church than just praising the Lord. Amen. It's more to being in church than just reading the Bible. There's more to being in church, amen, than just doing the spiritual. We all have a responsibility in church. So prioritize, yes, read your Bible, yes, pray, yes, fast, yes to that. But what are we neglecting? Amen. And we'll get to that a little later. Well, Proverbs 21:3 reads, to do justice and
judgment.
Justice is righteousness. It's what's right. Judgment is what is fair and equal. to do justice and judgment is more acceptable to the Lord than
sacrifice.
So to do what's right in God's eyes is more important than anything else. Did not Samuel tell Saul when he got a message from God, he said, to obey is what? Better than. God is more interested in our spiritual being. God is more interested in what we're doing spiritually. Everything else, if we see God, he said, everything else, God's going to take care of that. Amen. So the devil knows this scripture. So what he does, he gets us to focus on everything else. And then seeking God. You ever talk to people and say, well, I would go to church, but I just don't have time. How can you not have time for the only reason to be here?
Amen.
The Bible says, in him we live, in him we move, and in him we have our being. Everything that we are tonight is because of him. But then we neglect him by having our priorities out of order. Amen. So let's go to Matthew, the fifth chapter. The fifth chapter, now we're talking about prioritizing. The number one priority in all of our lives should be seeking and pleasing God. Because the Bible says, when a man waits to please the Lord, he will do what? He will make your enemies be at peace with you. So we have to place pleasing God as the highest priority. We have to do that first. But we cannot be neglectful to do other things. He said, these ones should you have done, but you should not have left the others undone. So they prioritized, but they were also neglectful. Amen. Matthew 5:19 reads, whosoever therefore shall break one of these least, God has given us commandments that we have to live by. These are like our rules. These are our book. This is our order. This is the standard. He said, whosoever breaks the least these commandments and shall teach men so, he shall be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whosoever shall do and teach them, the same shall be called greatest in the kingdom. So God's word is important. We have to honor God's word by doing it and living it. Verse 20 says, for I say unto you, that except your we want to be righteous in the eyes of who? God. That's the only thing that counts, brothers and sisters, tonight. Amen. When I lay my head down at night, I just want to say, Lord, is it well with my soul? You know, the psalmist says, search me, O God, and know mine. I just want to be right. I can't worry about pleasing people and let God down. He says, search me, O God, and know mine. Oh, try me and know mine. God uses our situation to test us, to know what's in our heart and what are we thinking. He says, see if there be
any wicked way.
Lord, if there be the slightest wicked way in me, and lead me
to the way
everlasting. He said, just the thought, I just want to be right. So let the words. Yes, it's important what we say. It's important how we conduct ourselves. I want to be saved. I want to be spiritual. But if I don't do it God's way, I'm being neglectful. He says, so let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in everybody else's sight. So we want the words of our mouth and the meditation of our heart to be acceptable in whose sight? Seeking first the kingdom of God and his. So prioritize in us setting what is most important. Have we been neglectful when it comes to some spiritual things of God? Amen. Let's go to James chapter 2. James chapter 2, we're going to read verses 18 and 11. So tonight is so important in seeking God. We have an accountability and a responsibility.
Yes.
I'm going to go with Joseph a little later. But it was when Joseph sent his brothers back. And he said, you cannot see my face as if you bring Benjamin with me. And somewhere along the line, he said, how can I go to my father and my brother not be with me? When God was speaking to Cain about Abel, he said, am I, Cain got nerve to be smart with God. He said, am I my brother's, I guess it was his sister keeps that one, right? He said, am I my brother's keeper? The answer is yes. The answer is yes. All right, we're going to get that too. First thing he said, if you fulfill the royal law according to the, that's the only thing that counts. Don't let other people tell you what God says. Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not, the Bible says, search the scriptures. The Bible says, those of Berea were no more noble than them, those of Thessalonica, and that they searched the scriptures daily to find out whether those things were so or not. So it's our responsibility to search the scriptures how often? So if I skip and miss around, even though I have prioritized, am I being neglected? Because we're supposed to search the scriptures daily. Then Paul tells Timothy, he said, now study. Study what?
The word of God.
You know, I'm just going to ask you this, you know, as a test. This is what I do for myself. If I have a book or something, if I read something more, and I'm involved with something more than the Bible, on a daily basis, and my highest priority should be to seek God, but I'm dipping and dabbing in everything else but God, is that being neglectful? Right? When we're supposed to seek Him how often? Daily. We're supposed to search for God daily to find out whether the things in the Word of God are true or not. That's our responsibility. Amen. I told years ago I used to read lots of books, lots of magazines, but I stopped reading a lot of stuff because I was finding out I could spend 3 or 4 hours reading that and 10 or 15 minutes reading the Bible. That's kind of out of balance, right? Seriously, isn't it out of balance? Either if, you know, a lot of times we do stuff on the computer, if you don't work, if you don't watch that computer will chew up God's time. Y'all hear me? Oh, the phone can chew up God's time. You know, young people, I'm just so busy. Waiting in Texas for the last 5 hours. Why don't you take a moment and read something about God? Amen. So that computer or that whatever you got is chewing up God's time. And then you say, oh God, God's waiting with you. All that you get, all right, let's see. Hey, I ain't getting it tonight. I'm breaking it down. But what about God's time? Boy, I'm ready to get my wife this little plaque that she has on her thing. He said, have you checked into your F-A-I-T-H book today? Man, you can be wearing that Facebook now. Ouch. I ain't gonna say nothing about that. But what about your faith book? That's the Word of God. In His Word, we live and move and have our being. Get God back to number one. All right. If you fulfill the royal law according to the scripture, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. So I'm saved, I'm sanctified. I was reading this preacher said, he said, saints are supposed to be standoffish. And saints, excuse my English, but my grandson did correct me. I forgot. Where lies? Lies are left. Remember about a week ago I said F-A-U-X, Fox? He's like, grandpa. you know lies are left, grandpa. I'm not sure. I don't think you said that word right either. I was like, what do you mean? He said, well, you said Fox. I said, yeah, F-A-U-X. That's right. Thank God for college students, right? I said, well, let's solve this right there. You said four, I said fault. He was right. I was wrong.
Amen.
Everything you ask is, what is it again?
Foe. Amen.
The X is silent. All right, so take my criticism. Let Elijah know I mentioned it, right? Because we need help. We're not all there. Right? So you gotta take some positive criticism. All right, so I got that straight. Amen. But let's just get back into the Word of God. Verse 9 says, but if you have respect of, we're supposed to love one another unconditionally. Agape is unconditional love. You can wrong me, you can do whatever, but this is my responsibility. If I just come to church, I pray, I do all this, but I'm neglectful in fulfilling my obligations to one another. How do you know what Jesus said? He said, Jesus is always accurate. Right? If Jesus said it, look at somebody say, he's always accurate. Y'all don't mess up. He said, by this shall all men know that you're my disciples indeed. The way you pray, the way you fast, the way you come to church, the way you read your Bible. Those you ought to do, but you ought not to leave the other undone. The love you have, one for, that is, the church has become so spiritually elevated that they forgot these simple things. By this, shall all men. Alright, so let's keep going on love. Y'all with me? He says, but if you have respect to persons, you mean if you don't have right, if you're not doing righteous and justly, you commit sin and are convinced of the law as a transgressor. For whoso shall keep the whole law. Now I'm just on fire for God. If you're on fire for God and you don't have time to help a saint or somebody in need, your fire is the wrong fire. And you know what happened to Israel when they put strange fire on the altar back in the Old Testament? They got killed. You got to have the right fire. So if you're going to be on fire, Jesus said Paul said they have a zeal for God, but it's not according to knowledge. We want to get back on the knowledge here, all right? For whosoever shall keep the whole law and yet offend in one point, he is. You can do everything, but we have a responsibility as saints to pray for and love one another. And we're going to get to that in a couple of minutes here. For he that said, do not commit adultery, said also,
do not kill.
Now, if thou commit no adultery, yet if thou kill, thou become. So the law is complete. If we're neglectful in one point, he said, you're guilty. So I'm prioritizing. But am I being neglectful? Right? I told y'all, I'm not going to use names, but one Sunday night I was home relaxing around 8 o'clock. And somebody called me and said, Pastor, I need to go to the hospital. I said, what? Around. How you call me at 8 o'clock? I'm almost, you know, Sundays I kind of fall asleep a little early. So I'm asleep, they call me and say, I don't know, go to the hospital. It's like, well, actually, they call for somebody else that needs to go to the hospital. It's like, they don't even come to church. Well, what am I thinking? You know, I say, you know what? I said, Lord, you know what? So I'm going to get out of this bed. And take that person to the hospital, right? Because as much as he's done unto the least, he done it unto God, right?
Amen.
Because we have the responsibility to help one another.
Amen.
You never know how that might influence someone else later. We can't be so spiritually on the, if I can lead prayer, if I can lead praise and worship, if I can do this, but I don't have time for the other stuff, Jesus said, wrong. Right. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Just telling the truth. Wrong. We have a responsibility to one another. I can say this. Jesus said by this, shall all men know that you are my disciples indeed. You know, but I ain't used to being around people. I'm going to tell you the truth. I ain't used to being around people either. And I ain't even used to talk to everybody all the time. But God dealt with me because my wife and I used to have issues, right? Issues. I had issues like, I don't know if you'd be doing that. But what did God call us to do? God called us, and he gave us certain responsibilities and accountabilities. Like somebody called me and said, Pastor, can you come over here and preach? I'm like, absolutely not. I did. They called me, I was like, no. Matter of fact, one of the pastors said, man, you ain't nothing but a big chicken. You're a big chicken. You don't ever want to do nothing. Man, that's bad. I gotta kill that chicken. So you know what I said? You know what? God, you called me to be whatever I am. That's God knows. I can't stop doing what God wants me to do because it doesn't fit within my schedule of what I want to do is what I'm available for. Right? Because that's what God has called us to do. So I'm prioritizing, I'm praying, I'm doing everything else. But what are we neglecting tonight? Amen. Now let us go to Romans. Actually, let's go to Romans, the 12th chapter first. So we are saved. We are filled with the Holy Ghost when we feel our brothers and sisters keepers. Amen. We are to help one another. As you all heard, Sister Mercy, when she came here, first of all, she came at a very inconvenient time, and my wife and I were talking. We said, well, you know what? If you were going to a foreign country, if we were going to a foreign country and we didn't know anybody, we want somebody to help us out. We didn't have the slightest idea what to do. And she didn't even have a place to live. And I have a little bit of credit card, and a couple of dollars in it, and I knew I wouldn't get the money back. But I didn't do it to get the money back. I said, well, let's at least get her in a hotel to get us somewhere. They'll get us that. So we paid for the hotel for 2 days. She stayed one. Man, I can't get my money back. Why don't you stay the other day? No, that wasn't important. You know what I'm saying? What I'm saying is this. We never met her. We never knew her. But our spiritual responsibility is to be a helper one of another. All right. Y'all get so quiet. Romans 12, 9 reads, let love be without
dissimulation.
You can't be a hypocrite when it comes to true love. Jesus said this. He said, greater love, has no man than this, than a man lay down his life. When it comes to being saved, we don't have to lay down our life, but we should be able to help somebody. We all have issues and challenges. But you know, even if you just sometimes just call and say, you know, I was thinking about you and I'm praying for you, that might help somebody go a long ways.
Amen.
But if you don't get out of your own priority world, you can't help somebody else. So let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil, cleave to that which is good. Be
kindly affectionate.
Wait a minute. Can you all read this? Listen to this. You know, you always meet some people, they say, they'll be nice. Not in here. I ain't talking about none of y'all. So y'all listen up.
Amen.
Y'all listen up. I ain't talking about you.
Blessed
is you. But it's be kindly affectionate. That eliminates any ungodly, ugly, nasty attitudes. But we're supposed to be kindly affectionate.
One to another.
Man, you preached a message. Oh, that message was on fire. They can't do this. No, man, that wasn't time for you. Not what?
Jesus.
I ain't talking about nobody. Mm-hmm. Just saying, I'm giving myself because ain't I a preacher? If I can do all of this, and then when somebody asks me for help, I can't help them. You're supposed to be kindly
affectionate.
So I got all my spiritual ducks in order. But I'm neglectful when it comes to one another. Y'all ain't got to say amen. Yeah, I'm going to y'all already know. Y'all ain't got to say amen. If God gave it to me, I'm going to run with it. Matter of fact, it's like 4 o'clock in the morning.
if we don't walk in the water, I was like, I'm gonna be sleeping.
But I'm gonna turn around, right? So it says, be kindly affectionate.
One to another.
I'm gonna say, you know what? God ain't never, ever, ever did nothing of it. You ever follow Jesus? Mm-hmm. To be a Christian means to be one like.
Christ-like.
Y'all ever seen Jesus just get nasty to people? Even when people were caught in the wrong, the Bible says he had compassion. Mm-hmm. Compassion is he has some affection for them.
Thank you, Jesus.
Somebody that rewrote the Bible.
Jesus.
I'm serious. Some, not in the air, we're talking about over there. Look at somebody and say, point down the street. That ain't down the street. It's down the street. That's close enough. Down the street. But down the street, we talk about down the street. God never gave anyone permission to act ugly and nasty. Right? Down the street. I'm so glad I ain't pointing at nobody. But down the street, have mercy. Sometimes we need to, you know, they say somebody check something at the door. I forgot how that goes. I don't know, check it at the door. You need to check your attitude at the door.
Amen.
Come to church, shout, praise the Lord, walk outside, and tell somebody off. Have mercy in Jesus' name. It don't work in church.
Have mercy.
It don't work. God said, you know what? And as much as you've done unto the you got an idea. If we haven't prioritized right and get things in the right order, we are checking our attitudes all the time. All right, I gotta get out of time. All right. So he says, be kind and affectionate one to another with
brotherly love.
Honor.
Prefer one another.
He's supposed to prefer what? So you're doing all. But what about how do you treat one another? Are we neglecting? Because if you're guilty and he said you're guilty. Well, that ain't me, but it ought to be you, because when you came in Christ, you became a new creature. That's our biggest problem down the street. I ain't talking about y'all talking down the street. That ain't me. I ain't like that. You ought to be like that, because when we got Christ in us, we became a new. The old ways we used to act, we don't act that way no more. The old ways we used to talk, we don't talk like that no more. The old ways we used to think, we don't. Somebody says, since Christ, there's a great change in my life. The Bible says, he calls you out of darkness into his marvelous light shines, and light affects everything around. So that ain't me, you need to change. A whole lot of stuff ain't me. That's why when he tries to give me a pastor, I said, I cannot do that. Because that ain't me. Then God started talking and said, that's the problem. Too much about you. Right? So I said, well, Lord, I'll accept the responsibility for a year. I'm going to change for a year. Then I'm on my way to Georgia. Well, how many know? We need at the end, you gotta say, Lord, not my will, but thy will be done. Right. So we're supposed to have brotherly love, preferring. You know what that means? If you're hungry, and I'm hungry, and I got $5, I'm not gonna buy food and eat it in your face knowing you're hungry. I'll give you the $5. So I say, you about to go there for it. But you're supposed to do what? Prefer? All right, let's go deeper. Y'all want to go deeper? Yeah. I'm just telling you the word of God. I'm not telling you what I said. This is the word of God. Amen? He said, not slothful in business. Fervent in spirit. That has to do with serving the Lord when you treat one another. He said, if you don't do it right, then you're being offering. In but the church ain't supposed to be about that. It's supposed to be, no. It's supposed to be how we treat one another. Amen. Verse 12 says, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer, distributing to the
saints.
You mean if somebody's in need, I'm supposed to give if I have it? If you don't have it, then you don't have to give. What are you supposed to give to the, that means they have a need.
Right.
You're supposed to give to that need. Well, I was saving this to do this. Well, what about their need? That's your want, but what about their
need?
So I'm doing all this spiritual stuff, but I'm being neglectful for how I treat my own brothers and sisters. Give it to you. But my house ain't there, ain't together. Just be kind. Bring them over in here. You know, so well, when I get it together, what's it gonna be? 20 years, 30 years? Seriously. All of this is part of being a child of God. This is part of growing at church. You gotta get out of self.
Right.
And you got to help somebody else. Amen?
Amen.
Well, let's keep going. It says, bless them which persecute you. Ouch! You did that to me? Wait until I can get my hands on you. Blessed and we're talking about our responsibility. It's more than praying. It's more than fasting. It's more than having titles. It's more than being in a position. It's how we treat one. How we treat one another. Amen. Rejoice with them that do.
Rejoice.
What in the world does this have to do with being a child of God? What does this have to do with serving the Lord? Rejoice with them that rejoice and what?
Weep with them that weep.
What? This is something that they need to take out of the book. You got just what you deserve. They need to throw that somewhere. Right? Because if we all got what we deserve, guess what? None of us will be saved in life. So every time I say, you got just what you deserve. The old times you say, you make your bed hard, man, you just live. That's not what God says.
Amen.
So who has the greater influence on us? God's word or the word? It says, be of the same mind, one towards another. Mind not. You know what that means? It means humble yourself. You need to do some humble tests. Like, what? I am not going to do that. Nah, you're too high. You got to come down. Look at somebody and say, you got to come down. You got to come down. So you can't mind. It's all not all about the spiritual. God wants us to do some natural things. Well, how do you know you're doing that? How do you treat one another? It says, you got to mind not high things. You got to calm down, but condescend to men of low estate. Well, that's beyond me. I ain't doing. If you say nothing should be beyond you. If you say, I don't mess with that kind of stuff, then God's never going to bless you to be what you need to be. Because you're so spiritually minded. But you're earthly, no good. Because you're neglecting the part, the greatest part of this. Then we'll get to a little part a little bit more. Alright? So it says, recompense. Oh yeah, I'm sorry. Let me finish that now because this got a little bit more stuff in it. Condescend to men, the Lord say, be not. Who's going right to the world? He's right to the world. The church is all conceited and all high-minded. He said, no, you got to come down. You got to, those that are weeping, you need to weep with them. Right? I would go to another scripture, but I don't want to get off the course. Let's see here. Recompense no man evil for evil. And this is where we really get to the wrestling match here. Right? You got to provide things that are dishonest. Provide things that are what?
Honest.
Provide things that are honest how? Right. So, you know, I'm telling you what you want to hear, but I ain't really living. That ain't honest. Seriously, that ain't honest. If I'm telling you what you want to hear just to get you off my back, then, and that love is not without dissimulation, because that's hypocrisy. I don't know, we didn't come to church to get all this, but at least you come to church and just keep going through the motions.
Amen.
You can be right.
Amen.
So, he says, you can't do that and think that God is pleased with you. Amen? Provide things that are honest in the sight of, you know what? I got my little clique, my little plan. Absolutely not. All men. Amen? He said, if it be possible, as much as lies within you, live peaceably with all men. Dealing with love, avenge. This is where most of the church gets you in trouble. Because if someone has done you wrong, seriously, someone does you wrong and come and ask you, and say, man, I'm in trouble. Can you at least give me $5 so I can do this? They'd be smiling all over the inside. Be laughing. Just what you learned. No, I ain't giving you nothing. Say, no, that's not how we're supposed to treat one another. They're saying, ain't no use to come to church and claim the game. You gotta be real. Right? So, it's what we have right there. You're not supposed to avenge yourself. Someone has done you wrong, do good. You're supposed to bless and curse. Nah, defend not yourself, but rather give place not to wrath, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, said the Lord. Now this is where a whole lot of us get in a lot of trouble. Right here is where the way, I ain't giving them nothing. You know what he or she did to me? I ain't giving them a thing. I'm just saying, you're all spiritually heavenly bound, but you're neglected. Your servitude, one for another. Therefore, thy enemy hunger, do what? Feed him. Oh, he got just what he deserves. She got what I give him. You're not fulfilling the royal law, right? Because we have a responsibility to God. You're not doing it to that individual. Everything we do, brothers and sisters, is for God.
Amen.
How we treat one another is not because of them, it's for God.
Amen.
You know, Bishop G.T. Abel said, especially when you're dealing with saints and saints, he said, if a saint of God has the Holy Ghost, the way you treat that saint, guess what? That's how you treat God. Because the Holy Ghost is God is in it. So the way you treat them, that's the exact same way you would treat God. Amen? He said, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Therefore, thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome with evil. But overcome evil with good. Let's go to Genesis, the 50th chapter. We went over this not too long ago. We got a few more. Let's go to Genesis, the 50th chapter. Now, be not overcome with evil, overcome evil with good. The greatest example of forgetting the hurts of the past is Joseph. Joseph is one of the greatest examples. Amen? We know that Joseph's brother sold him into slavery. We know that they did everything they could to try to put him to silence. For 13 years, he was separated from his family as a young man. Just think somebody said, you know what you've done for me? I do to me a year ago, wait till I get. Joseph wasn't like that. Joseph embodied the Spirit of God. And the Spirit of God embodied Joseph. But let's, for the sake of time, let's just go to this 15th verse of the 50th chapter. Now, Jacob had died. After Jacob died, they went and buried him. Now, Joseph hadn't brought up nothing about the past. Ain't it good to leave the past in the past?
Amen.
But when your mind is messed up, you resurrect stuff from the past. What did Paul say? Forgetting. Everything that's been there, you got to forget.
Right.
So verse 15 said, and when Joseph's brethren saw that their father was dead, they said, Joseph will prevent your haven. Joseph hadn't done anything. This is their mind. This is their mindset. Amen. Joseph forever will hate us, but will certainly requite us all. They said, we know he did him wrong. They're talking about their own wrong. All the evil which we did unto, they said we did him wrong. So now they're trying to be dishonest. And they sent messages unto Joseph, saying, thy father did command before you died, saying, so shall ye say unto Joseph, forgive, I pray thee, the trespass of thy brethren, and their, they didn't know what they did was dead wrong. So they're telling Joseph, your father said, forgive and do all of this and do that, for they did unto thee evil, and now we pray thee, forgive the trespass of the servants of the God of thy father. And Joseph, when they spoke to Joseph, all Joseph could do was break down and weep. Joseph wept, because Joseph said, I'm not even thinking about that. How did you even, you ever ask the question, how did you get here? How did you get to that? That stuff died in the water. When you got baptized, it died in the water. If someone has wronged you and they confess it, got it right with God, it died with God. Why in the world are we resurrecting some dead stuff? Amen? And his brethren also went and fell down before his. Wasn't that his dream? Right? They never brethren did what? Their sheaves fell down and did obedience. So this is all part of the dream that Joseph had.
Amen.
But Joseph is not even focusing on the dream. Right? He's beyond that now. They fell down and bowed before him. And they said, behold, we are thy servants. And Joseph said unto them, fear. He said, don't. What are you afraid? Why are you acting like that? He said, why am I in the place of God? You know, if we ever take that position when we deal with one another, he said, listen, I can't do what God has to do. I'm not going to take that just on you. Even though you did me wrong, and it is wrong. Joseph wept. Because he did all that I've done for you, how did you even get to this point? He said, I can't do what God has to do. He said, to be even a little better than that, but as for you, God knows what he's doing in some of our situations that we're going through. We're blaming everything in the world. But Joseph had his priorities right. Joseph wasn't neglectful. Joseph did what he knew God wanted him to do. He said, before answering, you thought evil, you did it for evil. Hallelujah. What a mighty God we serve. He said, but God meant it. You meant it for evil. But look what God has done. Why? Because Joseph had a right attitude. Joseph had a right spirit. A broken heart and a contrite spirit, oh God, the scripture said, thou wilt not. You got to be broken. As long as you up here, God can't help you. You got to come down. Amen? And in this day, to save much people alive. We're going to close off in one or two chapters. Let me see which one we're going to close off with. Let me see which one is, which one we get the message to greatest. All right, let's go to the 16th chapter of Luke. 14th chapter of Luke, sorry. We'll close here. Prioritizing, but not being neglectful. Yes,
seek God. But don't neglect our responsibility one to another. Now, this is not giving people a blanket excuse to go do wrong. You say, well, Pastor, you gotta forgive me. That's wrong. Right? I'm just saying we should have the right attitude in how we treat one another. Right? Love without dissimulation means don't be no hypocrite. Do it for the right reasons. Luke 14, 16, I'll go through this quickly. Then said he unto them, a certain man made a great supper and bade many. And sent his servant at supper time to say unto them that were bidden, come, for all things are now ready. And they all with one consent began to make excuses. Excuses will cripple a child of God. Instead of accepting responsibility, we will make excuses. The first said, I have brought a piece of ground, I must need go see it. I pray thee have me excuse. And another said, I have five yoke of oxen, and I go to prove them. I pray thee have me excuse. And another said, I have married a wife, and therefore I cannot come. So that servant came and showed his Lord these things. Then the master of the house being. Now this is representing God. Got angry because of the excuses. I would have, but God knows the truth. We have to deal honestly in the sight of all men, but especially God. Because he knows. Amen? And the servant said, Lord, it is done, and thou hast commanded, and yet there is room. Verse 22, I know I skipped most of 21, but let's keep going. 23, and the Lord said unto the servant, go out to the highways and hedges, and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. For I say unto you that none of those men which are bid shall taste of my. And this is the Lord giving an illustration for the church. Those excuses will excuse you away from the welcome table. Sit with the table, one of these days, right? You won't get there, you can make up a bunch of excuses. Alright? And he goes on to say, verse 24 says, for I said to you that none of those men shall taste my supper, and there went great multitudes with him, and he turned and said unto the multitude. Yeah. If anybody, man, he's getting there to do prioritizing. Get it together. You have to have the right order. He said, if any man come to me and hate not, now this hate means to prefer. All right? To prioritize means to put before. You know God will hate. All right. So this would mean to prioritize means you put it before. He said, if any man hate not his father, and mother, and wife, and children, and brethren, and sister, is all my fault. He cannot be mine. He's trying to get them to prioritize in the proper way. God has to be first. We must seek for, he said, if you put anything else before me, you can't be my disciple. For which of you, I'm sorry, verse 27, for whosoever does not bear his, when you get saved, it's not just about the glory. There's work that comes into salvation too. There's responsibility and accountability in salvation. You can't just stay on the mountaintop. Jesus was on the mountaintop, but he also came down into the valley. So was us. We can't stay up there all the time. We have to come down and do some mundane, everyday things. Because that's short of God, we want to be accounted worthy. We'll never be worthy, but we want God to count us worthy. Amen. So it's a responsibility, not just all of us spiritual, but we have some natural responsibilities as well. Amen. He says, for whosoever does not bear his cross and come after me, is more than just doing the spiritual. There's also some accountability. For which he intended to build a tower, sitting not down first and counted the cost, whether he has sufficient to finish it. Lest happily after he had laid the foundation is not able to finish it, all that behold it began to mock him, saying, this man began to build was not able to finish. Or what king going to make war against another king, sitting not down first and consulted whether he be able with 10,000 to meet him that cometh against him with 20,000, or else while the others yet a great way off, he sendeth an ambassador and desireth conditions of peace. So likewise, whosoever it be of you that right, God has to be anything that's blocking you and God, you got to move that. It come to church, great. Pray, great. But what about that other stuff that we're not doing? Forsaking not all that he had cannot be my disciple. I got 2 minutes. Let's go to Romans 13. I'm going to close here in Romans 13 chapter. All right. So tonight we're dealing with prioritizing. Doesn't mean you got to be neglectful. We should do the spiritual, but we also have to do the natural. We can be spiritual, but it's also important how we treat one another. God never gave the church permission to act ungodly. Scripture says in Psalms, he says, whosoever ordered this conversation aright, will I show the salvation of God. You got to live right to be saved. You can't live your way to be saved. Because you got to forsake. You got to forsake. You got to forsake. He said, if you don't forsake it, in other words, if you put anything before me, God said, you cannot be my disciple. All right, Romans 13. Let's go to verse 8. The Bible says, owe a man nothing but to what? Love one another. For he that loveth another has fulfilled the law. Let's go down to verse 10. We've already read about the other parts in James. Love worketh no evil, no ill to his neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfillment. And that knowing, how many know the time you're living in? If you know the time, he said that it is now high time to wake up and sleep. For that is our salvation nearer than what we believe. The night is for us spent. The day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of in the church. They got works of darkness? Yes. But it's time to awake our love. It's time to wake up. Y'all look at somebody tell me to wake up. Hopefully they ain't sleeping for real. They might be sleeping real in here. Wake up. All right. All right. He said, let us therefore cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk. If you don't know anything else, be honest. Because God already knows. Don't try to put on one show in front of people. Because God knows. God said not as man see. Man looks at the outward appearance. But God looks at the heart. All those excuses. God says, really what excuses? Because what you wanted to do, you did. You just neglected me. You gotta keep God first. This ain't one of the messages you all hate too much about. But if God woke me up at 4 o'clock and gave it to me, so I'm giving it back to y'all. Right? I just give it to y'all. I ain't give you everything, I'm giving you enough, God. Right? Let us walk honestly. As in the day, not in riding and drunkenness. Not in chambering and wantonness. Not in. Keep all that foolishness down. You know what envy means? Envy means jealousy. You know what jealousy is? You know what jealousy is?
Thomasville. What I find more cooler, yeah, is jealousy. Jealousy is worse than death. Church, if God bless somebody else, say thank you, Jesus, and bless.
Amen.
Oh, what a dream come true. You know, I just do that under the breath talk. That's the easiest one we have had in church.
Jesus.
And you come, hey, she don't deserve that. He don't. I do it. Like, she don't deserve that.
Leave me the way of that.